This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Kansas City Chiefs Radio Network, Andy Reid after that.
Oh, yeah. They were leaning last night, 19-8. Easy win for them. Right, I know the Broncos kind of kept it close, but come on, the Chiefs weren't really the
Chiefs. No, the Broncos didn't keep it close. The Chiefs kept offense. It close. No, yeah. Not the Chiefs. The Chiefs offense kept it close. The Chiefs defense was outstanding, and that's probably the part of Thursday Night Football that's going under the radar. The Chiefs defense is really, really good. Yes. Right now, the Chiefs defense ranks fifth in total defense and second in scoring defense. They have been outstanding. Those young players flying around the football, I mean, guys like Nick Bolton and George Karlaftis to go along with some of the mainstays they have like Chris Jones, I think this is one of those defenses that you're going to have to watch out for, because if their defense can continue to play like this, we know that Pat Mahomes and the offense are going to figure it out eventually down the stretch. They don't have to be as good as they need to be in order to win a Super Bowl, and no team knows that better than them because they've been in the conference championship game 5 years running. So I think that's probably the sneaky big news coming out of Kansas City this morning is how good that defense is. Yeah, they're legit.
That was one of the things I wrote down watching this game last night. We focus so much on Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, as we should. We do not give Steve Spagnuolo enough credit for what he's done with that defense in Kansas City. They've been outstanding.
And I wonder if they're going to just leave Frank Clark there. Like, hey, you were once here. We'll just leave him here for you. The Broncos.
Doesn't it feel like that, though?
Maybe.
Doesn't it feel like
Randy
they're
Gregory
on their way
to
be
the
reunited?
Yeah. Frank Clark, where is he going to, you know, and that's one of the many people that the Broncos potentially could look to potentially release or trade, and they restructured his deal to make it easier to do as such. Of course, it is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from the Seaport District at Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. So we've talked today about two situations across the NFL. We talked about the Broncos and how last night obviously was another ugly loss for them, standalone game. Russell Wilson not even throwing for 100 yards. And Sean Payton, we think, did not want Russell Wilson, was offered an inordinate amount of money, took the job, was going to see if Russell Wilson could be his guy. Right now, it doesn't feel that way. We've also talked about the under-the-radar story of the fact that Deshaun Watson, from an on-field perspective, is actually getting somewhat of a pass, and that we don't talk about him the way that we've talked about, you know, Dak Prescott or even Josh Allen or Justin Herbert we mentioned today, like, hey, come on, let's go already. But Deshaun Watson has an enormous contract, and the Browns gave up an arm and a leg to get him, and he's probably not going to play again this weekend because of injury. And I put it up there, Dr. Pepper inbox at Evco Radio on Twitter. If one team has a do-over, Broncos with Russ, Browns with Watson, which team would take that do-over first?
Oh, man, you got to say the Browns with Watson, right?
I'm asking you. What do you
think? Well, I mean, this is the year that Deshaun was supposed to take off. We gave him a pass in the limited action he saw in 2022 because he hadn't played football in effective 2 years. So it's just like, okay, we knew he was going to be rusty. This was supposed to be the year that the Browns took off. This was supposed to be the year where it all came together. The biggest question that we were supposed to have about the Browns was what they were going to be on the defensive side of the ball. Well, guess what? That defense ain't a question. As a matter of fact, the only question we're asking about that unit is, are they the best in all of football? Because they're that damn good. But the offense has been awful. The offense has they've got 10 turnovers through 4 games. And seven of those turnovers have given the ball to the opposing team's offense in plus territory. That's point-blank scoring range. Deshaun Watson has got to be there, he's got to be available, and he's got to play better in order for this Browns team to realize the potential of this team, but also to get the return on the commitment that they made to him amidst all the controversy.
I think it's Deshaun Watson as well, and I don't even think it's that close
because
of all of the circumstances surrounding this. When the Haslams and Andrew Berry decided to employ Deshaun Watson, you did so with the assumption that the football portion of this was going to make it all worth it. You move on from Baker Mayfield, by the way, if you're the Browns. He's 3-1 and has the Bucks rolling.
But they were right to move on from him.
I'm just saying, okay, but you made a decision that he wasn't the guy, and you ultimately determined that despite 26 women filing civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson alleging sexual misconduct, that the football portion of this was enough for you to take this gamble, right? There are not only financial consequences that CeCe outlined very well, there are moral consequences here. There are reputations that are on the line. Not only people losing their jobs, but this organization said, we believe in this person, And specifically, we believe in the football side of this person so much that we are willing to give him $230 million guaranteed. And so far, neither one of those things has really worked out.
Beyond fair. You know what I was thinking about? You remember a few years ago, the NBA had this thing called the amnesty clause, where each team had the opportunity to just get rid of a player. They'd have to pay them their owed money, but it wouldn't count against the cap, right? So they had this random rule that popped up. And I was thinking, if we applied that here, I think the Broncos would do that in 2 seconds with Russell Wilson. I still don't know that the Browns would do that. I don't know that the Browns would take a do-over. I believe, maybe I'm wrong, the Browns are sitting there saying, no, we still think Watson could be good. I think the Broncos have made up their mind that they don't think Wilson could be good.
Well, they don't have a choice. They got rid of their first-round draft pick for not only the 2021 season, 2022, I mean, 2022, 2023, but also 2024. They don't own it. The Texans own it. So they don't have a lot of pathways to add another alternative at quarterback if you're the Cleveland Browns. So they've got to give this thing a little more time with Deshaun Watson. They have no choice by virtue of the contract, but also by virtue of what they gave up for him. But here's the thing. Even if you determine after 2024 that he's not your guy, how are you getting out of that contract?
Watson, you're saying.
Yeah, Watson.
Yeah,
how are you getting out of it?
You have to restructure, pay him a ton of money up front, which you already have done. So what CeCe's talking about is just an astronomical breakdown here per Spotrac or Spotrac. I never know how to pronounce that properly.
I just call it Spotrac. But anyway.
It's $63.9 next year in cap hit, $200 million dead cap, which means if you just say he's not good, we're going to waive him. You're basically paying him your entire salary cap to not be on your team.
Which they can't do.
They
That's
can't
untenable.
Do.
But here's the thing. You can't even do it the following year. You can't cut him after 2024. He's got a $136 million dead cap hit if you try to cut him. You can't get rid of him.
And I don't know that he has value elsewhere. Even if he were to come to you and say, hey, this ain't a fit. I want to go to Atlanta.
Who's trading for that contract?
Well, the other team that was mentioned was Atlanta, but why would Atlanta want him
now? But NFL owners just showed you that we're not taking guaranteed contracts. Look at Lamar Jackson and how that situation played. We're not giving guaranteed contracts to players because we don't want to be in the situation that the Cleveland Browns found themselves in, which is one player holding the entire franchise hostage. Right now, it's Deshaun Watson's way or the highway. If your ownership, if you're the GM, if you're the head coach, you ain't making none of the decisions. He is. There is nothing, quite literally nothing you can do right now unless Deshaun Watson violates some type of moral clause which allows the Cleveland Browns to go after the contract and make it null and void due to conduct detrimental. Unless Watson does something like that, there is absolutely nothing the Cleveland Browns can do. Now, conversely, if you look at the situation with the Denver Broncos, the Broncos can cut Russell Wilson after this season. Now, it's going to be ugly in terms of what their salary cap is, but if you're pushing the reset button, if you're drafting a quarterback, then you deal with it because the team and the organization has already decided that they're tearing this thing down.
Right.
They jettisoned Randy Gregory a couple of weeks ago to the San Francisco 49ers. They're shopping Frank Clark. They're believed to be putting Jerry Jeudy on the auction block. They're tearing this thing down in Denver anyway, and Russell Wilson just so happens to be in the house while they're doing it. I don't think that it's cost prohibitive for them to move on from him early on in the offseason 2024.
You just brought up a whole can of worms I hadn't thought about, and I hate to even go down this route. They're getting to a point in Cleveland, I'm sure, around Deshaun Watson, that if he doesn't put up here, right, something, playing games and performing, that you do wonder if they're going to look into, hey, is there anything else that we have in our back pocket that he is – I'm not suggesting they want somebody to violate the clause, but is there any other information they could use to get out of that contract, which you just said –
Well,
I hate to say this that
way. Well,
here's
the thing. The conversation after the Monday night loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, that was one of the things that came up because of his conduct on the field. Remember the two unsportsmanlike penalty calls?
Right. Could that be used?
That could be used potentially to void the guarantees in his contract. So that could be the pathway that
this
Cleveland,
is a nauseating conversation, but they're there.
Cleveland could go down.
Yeah.
Did you hear the numbers?
But that would be the only way. That's the only way that they could get out of that contract. And here's the thing. In order for something like that to happen, Deshaun Watson's got to be on the field and play.
Right. He can't have a personal conduct penalty without being there.
Yeah. So, I mean, unless it's something that's egregious that happens to violate the personal conduct policy once again, like he did down in Houston, unless it's something of that nature, you're not going to be able to get out of that contract. You're just not. And that's what makes the situation in Cleveland untenable. Now, I'll say this. They'll fire Kevin Stefanski and potentially Andrew Berry, the GM, before they get rid of Deshaun Watson. But I don't think that changes anything in Cleveland. And that's the scary part because Deshaun is wielding so much power there.
It just causes more dysfunction.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck with this contract that you, if you're the new regime, you're a new coach, you're a new GM, you're stuck with this player, this contract that you inherited, and it's a big mess, and you're trying to find a way around it. At least with what we're seeing in Denver, I think you feel a little bit better about Sean Payton being in control. And if they are in real time stripping this down and he's rebuilding it, you know that they have a plan in place.
There are some deals in sports that you look back upon and say, hey, that changed the way that this sport operates. This feels like one of them. That we're going to look back upon it and say the way in which the Cleveland Browns decided to go out on a limb, guarantee him all that money, actually cost other quarterbacks around the league money because teams don't want to guarantee.
Other players.
That's what I'm saying. Other positions as well.
Yeah.
They don't want to guarantee a number as high. They don't want to take that kind of risk. They don't want to guarantee the full contract over the course of 5 years. They may guarantee over one or two, but not over that time. And you're getting the feeling that maybe, like you brought up Herschel Walker. I mean, the Herschel Walker trade changed the nature of the game.
It built the Dallas Cowboys dynasty.
Right.
Yeah.
And you think about this, and I mean, there's little Steph Curry being injured and taking a below market value deal initially, his first deal, built the dynasty of the Warriors. Because his ankle was hurt, the contract that they gave him was so low because they didn't know if he was going to be able to play, it built everything.
Yeah.
This one is the opposite. It's so high that quarterbacks are not going to be compared to that anymore, and that's not even going to be the standard.
Well, let's be clear. When we say it's so high, it's not the average annual value.
Because
that's $46 million. Top of the market is 55. It's the guaranteed portion. Because the guarantee is so big, there is quite literally nothing the team can do to work out of the contract. They have to. If they cut him after this year, they owe him $200 million.
Oh my God.
It's not plausible. They can't do it. Quite literally, Deshaun Watson is running the Cleveland Browns for the next, what do we call it, 4 years? Jimmy Haslam is supposed to be the owner. No, he's not. Deshaun Watson is the owner of the Cleveland Browns for the next 4 years.
And I don't know that you can necessarily push him to play through an injury if he believes he's hurt.
No, you can't push a player to do
no.
that.
No.
Right?
That.
You can't.
No. You can't make him play. You can't
but
make
it
him
seems
play.
Like an untenable situation.
It feels like this is headed down the road of the Cleveland Browns trying to find a workaround to get out of the guarantees and then Deshaun Watson potentially going down the road of having to file a grievance. I know it's
And maybe we're wrong. Maybe he does play this weekend. All
early.
Reports
well, they're,
the say, other
they're saying that he's not playing.
Yeah,
they're saying
I know,
that he's
yeah.
not playing this week and they're going to elevate Philip Walker from the practice squad. This is something that we're going to have to watch because I feel bad for the Cleveland Browns fans because they actually had a lot of hope and for good reason coming into this season. And now it just feels like all of that is being dashed. It's more dysfunction around Cleveland. It's more uncertainty around the quarterback position. And that's a fan base that quite literally deserves better.
Coming up next, our frenemy joins the show. It's on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Ryobi is awesome. Let me tell you why. This Saturday, make cleanup easy with Ryobi 18-volt, 1-plus cordless leaf blower from the Home Depot. Of course, Home Depot all over College Game Day this weekend and every weekend. Now, I said our frenemy is joining us. Joe Fortenbaugh is part of the Carlin versus Joe team, weekdays noon until 3 Eastern here on ESPN Radio, Daily Wager co-host as well. And last week, we asked him specifically about the games that we are required to pick in the Pick'em Challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
We were just using his expertise.
Yeah, we go up against other shows, and he gave us some advice. And we are of the belief that he tanked his appearance with us. I don't know if he wants a better draft pick next year, but that he gave us wrong information on purpose because what he said wasn't necessarily true with us. And then he goes on his show, and he picks the opposite a lot of the time. Mm. Did you tank your appearance with us last week, Joe?
What an interesting way to start. Not a how you doing, not a thanks for taking time out of your day to join our show and boost our ratings because you know you're going to win this quarter hour. You know you're winning this quarter hour.
We're worried about you.
Yeah.
Did you
tank? Well, first of all, good morning. Great to be with you. I did not tank the appearance. From what I understand, you brought me on. You asked me for those picks. I didn't realize those were the pick'em picks for the contest we're all doing on ESPN Radio. And then I was led to believe that you guys were intentionally betting the other way. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I don't have a second source on that, but I'd imagine you're talking about the Dallas Niners game. Yes, I like Dallas, but my very astute cohort, Chris Carlin, said he was putting his foot down and he was taking the Niners. Mm-hmm. And we ended up going with the Niners because I trusted his gut on that one, just like he trusted my gut on a situation with the Steelers over the Ravens. We work well as a team, and that is why, Evan, you should have led this by saying Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, the team that is leading the ESPN Radio Pick'em Challenge, because we are that savvy, we are that sharp. Take that, Canty. How you feel?
I feel like you sandbagged us, and I feel like you're an all-time bad guy. I don't even understand why my co-host Evan called you a frenemy. We could drop the friend part. You're just an enemy, as far as unsportsmanlike is concerned. But, Joe, I want to talk to you about what I think is one of the most intriguing games on the slate in the NFL in Week 6, and that being the Seahawks paying a visit to the Bengals in Cincinnati. Now, this game had the line at around 3 in the middle of the week. It's since moved to 2.5. The Seahawks, counterintuitively, I guess, have lost 3 straight games under Pete Carroll coming off of a bye. They're going up against a Joe Burrow-led team, and Joe Burrow all of a sudden now starting to look a little better. Reports out of Cincy saying that the calf is getting better. What is your read on this game and at the line at 2.5?
Most important part of everything you just said was the line moving from 3 to 2.5. That's the most, and we've talked about this before, that's the most important point spread in all of football because more games end on a differential of 3 than any other differential. It's somewhere around 13-14% of all games end on a differential of 3. So when you see a point spread at 3 or at 2.5 or 3.5 and you see the move, the dance that goes back and forth on that number, that is a very big indicator. And that moving from 3 down to 2.5, that is not public money that's doing that. Those are the professionals that were getting in on Seattle plus 3. So you know where those guys stand, and for good reason. You make an interesting point that the Seahawks have struggled off the bye. They do have 2 weeks to get ready coming into this game. They have a top 10 offense. They're going to be able to score here against Cincinnati's defense. They do have a big road win on their resume this year. They went to Detroit and handed the Lions their only loss of the season. Lions had 10 days to get ready for that game, blew it, lost in overtime to Seattle. And at the same time, what do we think of Cincinnati? Are they getting better? Yeah, they covered their first spread last week against Arizona, but it's Arizona. So the thought process here is that Cincinnati might be a little bit overvalued in this game, and you have an opportunity here with Seattle to grab points in a game they very well could win. I also think it's an important play for some. I haven't done it yet, but over 45 has been a popular play as well. These two teams should hang some points. Seattle's a very good offense, as mentioned. Their defense still leaves a lot to be desired.
Joe, let's talk about New England at Vegas, the Raiders. We have Bill Belichick. We've been talking a lot about him being on the hot seat. He's going against his former disciple and Josh McDaniels. How do you view this one? How would you lay the money on this one?
This game is disgusting, Smallman. This game is absolutely disgusting.
This slate is wonky in general.
Yeah, there's a lot of games. I'm looking at my whole card here. It makes me sick, and that's what it should do. It should make you sick. I've heard this from really smart guys who've been doing this a long time. If you're not feeling at least a little bit uncomfortable with your wager, you're probably doing it wrong. You shouldn't be that confident. You should feel like something's wrong. Like, I was on Denver plus the 10.5 last night. I felt awful all day about that pick. Let me tell you what. Now, I end up losing that pick, but the handicap actually ended up being quite solid. So I'll take those. When you're way off on the cap, that's where you have to go back and check the process. This game's been dancing around 3 as well. There are still some 3s out there where you can get New England plus the 3. It's moving to 2.5, so again, that does indicate sharper money because the public's not jumping in on New England at this point in the week. I'm on the Patriots here. I think this is a good buy low spot. This game, 10 days ago, last Wednesday, when the look-ahead lines came out, it was a pick'em. It was a pick'em game, no point spread. And the Raiders go out, they beat the Packers. Patriots look awful against the Saints. And then this thing jumps all the way up to 3. Like, that is a huge move. I see it as an overreaction. The Raiders have not scored more than 18 points in any game this season. The offense is limited. And I think it's a good buy low spot on the Patriots. So I'm holding my nose here, but I am playing New England plus the 3.
Talk with Joe Fortenbaugh, of course, host of Carlin vs. Joe, Daily Wager, co-host here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Joe, numerically, the best game of the weekend, the game that features the least amount of losses, ironically, the Lions at the Bucks.
Yeah.
Are we taking the Bucks seriously in this game? Lions favored by 3.5 on the road. Do you think the Bucks could cover?
Tough one. I haven't done anything with this game just yet. I've been watching it. It did move from 3 up to 3.5, which indicates some Lions money there. I've been impressed with Tampa Bay. You know, they were one of the top three favorites to have the worst record in the NFL before the season started, and they've handled their business, but they've beaten up on the teams that haven't been very good. They stepped up in class against Philly. They had it handed to them. No shame in that. Philadelphia is obviously a very good football team, so and I don't think anyone really expected a whole lot from Tampa in that matchup. So here we go. You're coming off your bye. You're at home. You're in Florida. Maybe there's some humidity there you can benefit from. The Lions have been a wagon. I mean, they have just been handling their business week in and week out. I lean a little bit to Tampa Bay right now, plus the 3.5. Just a little bit. But like I said, I'd be doing you a disservice if I really sold that pick because I haven't done anything financially with it yet. By game time, I might get there. But I've been very impressed with what I've seen from the Lions. The defense was one of the worst in the NFL last year. Now they're 15th in scoring D. Again, the competition hasn't been great, but they are handling their business.
Joe, I got to ask you about what's going on in Cleveland. The Deshaun Watson situation is all kind of crazy. It's got things out of whack. This game between the Browns and the 49ers started out at plus 5 at the beginning of the week for Cleveland. Now it's at plus 9.5. How do you see this game with the 49ers riding high off that big win against the Cowboys going on the road against a really good defense in Cleveland?
All right, so I'm going to end up throwing this right back to you because you played and you might be able to give me some insight as to where I'm struggling with some of this handicap. The game was sitting around 6.5, 6 with the Niners as a favorite. It was even less than that on the look-ahead line. And then the announcement happens with Watson, and then this thing shoots up as high as 10. Now, there's a very low total in this game, 36. So they're telling you this thing is priced to be low scoring. They're basically telling you it's something around, I don't know, San Francisco 25, Cleveland 10 in this game. So maybe you play the Cleveland team total and you bet them under 13.5 if you expect very little from them. What I want to know from you, Canty, is the Niners have been great. You come off this huge Sunday night butt-whooping of Dallas. You're going across the country for the early start time, and you find out the starting quarterback likely isn't going to play. Could some complacency creep in here? That's what I wonder. Because if the Niners give us a Niner effort, they're going to bury this team. But I wonder if maybe they get off the plane and they're just not as focused as we've seen because they're off the huge win and they're facing P.J. Walker. Is that possible? Should I be concerned there?
Yes, you absolutely should be concerned. Now, here's the
thing.
Man,
I should have played in the NFL. I am so smart, I should have played in the NFL.
Well, you can be smart in the NFL. At your size, I don't think you're going to make it very long. Now, I would say this is a natural spot for it to let down, but this is where coaching matters in this spot, Joe. And that's why I'm still confident that the 49ers will be able to handle their business and they should cover. But this is a game that could be wonky just because of how good Cleveland's defense is. I don't think anybody in the NFL is paying attention to what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. You're still talking about them being number one in total defense despite their offense having 10 turnovers and 7 of them leading to offenses having plus territory possessions.
That's really well said. I do think this game could be a little bit closer for some of the game than expected. You might get the sleepy spot from San Francisco early. So I'm glad we talked that out. Thank you. That does really help.
Well, this was a sleepy spot as well. So that's a good thing.
Well, look at that. There he is. When does the Netflix special come out, Evan? My wife and I would love to watch it on a Friday
night. I'm just
night.
Worried about the Matt Jones one. Matt Jones is the only ESPN radio host. So shout out to Matt with the Netflix special. So we do have that on the ESPN radio resume. Joe, thank you so much.
I'm not done. I'm not done. You didn't even ask me for my best bets. You asked me for a bunch of games that I might not even like. I'm going to rip through these real quick because I'm going to do the people a service. Baltimore -4 in London. I don't believe in Tennessee. Big bounce back spot. Indianapolis +4 over Jacksonville. Jags just spent 2 weeks in London. I think the body clocks are going to be off here. I think Indy's undervalued. And in college football, Bowling Green +4.5 over Buffalo. Wink, wink. Have a great day and a great weekend, everybody.
Wink, wink. Why is there a wink, why wink, is there a wink, wink on Bowling Green, wink. Buffalo? Joe, thank you. Carlin versus Joe. We're going to call him our frenemy. That's what he is at this point. With Carlin versus Joe, Joe Fortenbaugh, of course, noon until 3 Eastern time, and a daily wager. Coming up, our ESPN Radio pick'em. Do we go with Joe's picks or not? We'll find out next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is a challenge. Challenge.
This is ESPN Radio's Pick'em Challenge.
Time now for the Pick'em Challenge here on Unsportsmanlike. On ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, you can watch us, ESPNU, of course. Listen all across the country and all of our great ESPN stations. So here's what we do. We have three games, NFL games. We pick the games against the spread, and we go up against our teammates here on ESPN Radio.
That is correct.
The standings are as follows. Carlin versus Joe, you just heard from Fortenbaugh, 12-3 on the season. Game night on ESPN Radio with Q Myers, Emmett Golden and company, 11-4. Freddie and Harry, 9-6. Unsportsmanlike, that's us, 7-8. Amber and Ian, 7-8. Greeny, 5-10. Now, I'm not trying to pit people against each other, but there's been a little bit of drama here internally in terms of where our picks have gone. Mm-hmm. Nuno, producer of this show, would you like to stake your claim or state your case, I should say, as to why you think last week's performance was our fault and not Fortenbaugh's fault?
Ooh. Well, not our fault, but one specific individual on the show. He said, I can't pick against the Ravens, so we took the Ravens.
That's correct.
And then when we got to the 49ers-Cowboys game, you guys were leaning 49ers. He said, I have a veto. I don't know why he had a veto. I think he just made it up. He's like, I have a veto. And you're like, all right, cool. And he took the he ended up taking the Cowboys. And he's like, well, if they lose, we get to kill them. If they win, we win. So I think Canty.
So hold on. First of all, let me clarify. The reason why I had a veto was because the Baltimore Ravens the week before covered against the Cleveland Browns.
Correct.
And
right.
We went as a show with the Cleveland Browns.
That's right.
And I felt disgusting about it, picking an AFC North rival over my team in Baltimore.
Right.
So I had to follow that up with not only picking my Ravens against the Steelers and laying the points, but I also had to veto Cowboys 49ers, and I wanted to go with the Niners, but in my head I'm thinking if we pick the Cowboys, it's the best thing for the show.
Right.
Because if the Cowboys cover, we're right. If they lose, then we're going to kill them all week, which we did.
So Joe did or didn't give us bad advice then, Nuno?
No, Joe gave us good advice. Oh. I think we thought we were too smart for this and ended up screwing ourselves over.
So is he not our frenemy?
We went with Joe with the Bills, Jill Jags pick. We went with Joe.
Well, okay, maybe you guys need to find yourself a Carlin who goes with his gut and actually, you know, this sways his co-host.
Huh. I don't like you pointing the finger of blame at me, Nuno. I don't know if I can work with you under these conditions. I don't feel good about it. I don't like it.
So how do we want to handle it this week? We got Seahawks at Bengals. Bengals.
Let's talk about it, like adults do.
Discuss it.
There we go.
Let's talk.
There we go.
All right, let's talk.
All right. By the way, before we do that, Adam Schefter just tweeted something. I want to make sure I get this across. Separation official. No, not Will and Jada. Denver is releasing Frank Clark in the same week he gave back $1.7 million to help create this scenario. Clark played two games with the Broncos after signing with them this offseason. He joins Randy Gregory as the second pass rusher in a week to leave Denver. CC, translation is, if he's giving back $1.7 million, does that mean he knows he's getting $1.7 million somewhere else?
Probably, and I'm not sure Frank Clark had to get on the plane last night.
That's what I keep thinking.
I'm not sure he had to get on the plane last night. Yeah. Frank Clark, like, Kansas I could just stay right here in Kansas City. I feel right at home.
Yeah. All right, Seahawks at the Bengals. Bengals favored by 2.5. I think the Bengals are going to win this game. You wrote the Bengals off saying that they're done. CC Smalls, where are we at? CC, where are we at with this game?
I like the Bengals in this one. Joe Burrow's looking like himself again. I think that they know that they need to continue to ride that wave, ride that momentum. The Seahawks have been tough, but I like the Bengals.
Yeah, there's no margin of error for the Bengals. They feel like they're a desperate team. Seahawks coming off of a bye, not good. Pete Carroll the last 3 years off of a bye, all losses. So I'm with the Bengals. And here's the thing. The Seahawks pass defense ain't been the best. The last four games, in all the four games that they've played, they've allowed a 100-yard receiver in each of them. I don't know if you guys have heard about this dude, Jamar Chase. Over the last three games, Jamar Chase, 34 catches, 406 yards, 3 touchdowns. Jamar Chase checking in, still good at football. I like the Bengals laying the 2.5 at home.
All agreed. We're good.
Okay.
Vikings minus 2.5 at the Bears. Bears, for them, have played well recently.
One game.
Nah, they played okay in the first half of the game before.
The offense played well against the Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Vikings favored by 2.5 on the road. Kirk Cousins not thinking about his next destination, at least per his words this week. Justin Jefferson not playing. Where do we want to go with this?
The Bears haven't won a home game in a calendar year. I will repeat myself. The Bears have not won a home game in one calendar year.
Oh my God.
I'm sensing you want to go with the Vikings and Smalls.
Let's not get too excited about it. One victory over the Commanders. I think it's a little bit of fool's gold with what we're seeing with the Chicago Bears. Let's not forget what we've seen the entirety of this season. And let's not forget that they have not won a home game in one calendar year.
I'll say this. The Chicago Bears had extra time to prepare, and it feels like their offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, has kind of thrown caution to the wind in terms of how he's using Justin Fields. They had more design runs against the Commanders than they showed in any other game that they've played in this season. I think that element of it softens defenses and gives more opportunities for shots downfield with DJ Moore. I actually like the Bears in this spot.
Well, we have a problem here. You like the Vikings. You like the Bears. Do we have a coin?
No, you're the tiebreaker. You're the tiebreaker.
This is not fair.
You're the coin.
You're the tiebreaker.
Okay, so what do I root for? The show. It's better for the show if the Bears win because we can talk Kirk Cousins trade rumors. So I'm going to go with the Bears just for the sake of the drama on the show.
Come to the dark side, Evan.
So that's where I'm going.
We make picks in the best interest of the show. I love it. I love it.
Last one.
But shouldn't we be making the best picks that we think are going to win because that does help the show?
But
and
I'm just
bragging,
think about it from this standpoint, Smalls. The Bears are getting 3 points at home. So home field advantage is worth 3 points. So do you think
Chicago?
So do you think that the Minnesota Vikings are 6 points better than the Chicago Bears?
They should be.
They
I don't think they are.
Without Justin Jefferson, I don't think they are.
Yeah. It's on the record, we have Bears plus 2.5.
There it is.
There we go. Yep. Lions minus 3.5 at the Bucks. Again, I will reiterate, numerically, this is the best game of the weekend relative to the lowest number of losses between the two teams. Both teams have one loss. Lions have not necessarily pulled away, but are pulling away in the NFC North. And the Bucks are the division leader in the NFC South. Lions minus 3.5 at Tampa.
For the love of God, Lions. If I'm ever going to take you seriously.
You got to win this game.
You got to win this game.
I agree.
You have to win this game. Joe said that you should feel a little bit uncomfortable when you're making picks. I will go out and say Detroit Lions laying the 3.5 on the road. I am very, very uncomfortable about doing so just because I think Tampa's defense is underrated, an understated aspect of why they've been successful through the first quarter of the season. I'll roll with the Lions, but I don't feel good about it, Smalls.
I don't think we'd feel that great about picking either one of these teams.
Great point.
You
great
know what
point.
I'm saying?
That's a great point. That is Baker Mayfield as a quarterback on the other side.
You can make an argument for either side, but I think if we're going the Chris Carlin gut check vibe here, I think don't we feel better about the Lions?
We do.
And the Lions have a road win, an impressive road win.
Kansas City.
So
let me just we're gonna go with the Lions -3.5 out of the Bucks. But let me just point something out or ask a question on this. So theoretically, the Bucks win this weekend. They're then 4-1. They have a win against the Lions. They have a better record percentage-wise, win percentage-wise, than the Lions. Are they now the third-best team in the NFC?
They're in the conversation.
The Tampa Bay Bucks minus Tom Brady.
They're in the conversation with the Dallas Cowboys, the Detroit Lions, the Seattle Seahawks. They're in that conversation for that third-best team. I think there are four teams that are vying for that spot, and that's changing week to week. The reason why I like the Lions, though, is because what we get from them does not change week to week. Mm-hmm. They are a consistent team. They're a physical team. They're tough-minded. They're hard-nosed. I like this team. Like, their only black mark on their ledger is an overtime loss at home to a Seattle Seahawks team that can score points.
But think about this for a second. Let me just play out something that is not crazy at all. Let's play out the Cowboys on Monday night losing to the Chargers. Not crazy, right?
No.
3-3 would be the Dallas Cowboys. Let's play out the Lions going on the road and losing to a one-loss Tampa team. They then go to 4-2. Tampa is 4-1. Let's play out Seattle, which we already have, losing to the Bengals. They become 3-2. Numerically, the Tampa Bay Bucks would be the third-best team in the NFC behind San Francisco and Philadelphia. Definitively, in my mind, then, Todd Bowles, Coach of the Year, front-runner. We forget he exists as the head coach of that team because we still think about them as Arians and Brady. Todd Bowles with a win. It's already done a good job this weekend. Todd Bowles has done a phenomenal job as Bucks coach this weekend. They may put themselves, standings-wise, as the third-best team in the NFC out of nowhere. We all sat here before the season and say, go trade Mike Evans. Trade Godwin. Tank, what are you doing? You have a chance to go and get another franchise quarterback like Brady. And they instead go out there and get a bridge quarterback in Baker Mayfield, a coach that has had two or three former stops along the way in Todd Bowles as a head coach, and he's done a great job so far this season, and they could solidify themselves behind San Francisco and Philadelphia out of absolutely nowhere in the NFC. Coming up, our unsportsmanlike, that was unsportsmanlike, moment of the week here on Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio. We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman.
Pat Costello, what are you over today?
Patriots fans, I'm tired of you all complaining because I think you've had enough. You've had enough. Let other people have some wins.
I think they are. Excuse me.
We have the unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
He couldn't even utter the words. His body revolted against him. I think we have. He couldn't even get the lie out of his mouth.
I won the unsportsmanlike moment of the week.
No, I won the unsportsmanlike moment of the week.
With what?
At least when you said something, there was an actual word. I just made a sound in the middle of a complete sentence. I still don't know what the sound was. I was trying to talk about how good Ray Lewis was.
Wait a second. It was absolutely awful. According to sources close to me. Wait. That was last week.
That was last week? Wow, I had a CTE moment. Okay, that happens.
Sometimes. So then are you giving it to me?
Are we giving it to him, Smalls?
Some other candidates we've discussed.
I feel icky about giving Ev any kind of wins on the show.
Thank you.
I don't want him to win anything.
Don't worry. He'll turn it over to you next week.
Exactly. He'll find a way to mess this up too, right?
Because this is like the NIAC of sports talk.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to find a way to have a turnover, throw an interception. Yeah.
See, that's a little too personal, don't you think? The fact that I threw 8 interceptions.
I think they are.
We're going personal. We're making it personal.
Like Michael Parsons said earlier this week,
it made it personal.
Like Bryce Harper.
So there's a guy in the Phillies I want to throw out there. Garrett Stubbs, right, Pat? That's your guy in the Phillies?
Legend.
Last night he partied after winning the game and winning the series against the Braves. He took a Budweiser box for like a 12-pack and put it on his head as a hat that he was wearing around the clubhouse. Now, is that sportsmanlike or unsportsmanlike?
Oh, that's sportsmanlike. You can do whatever hell you want to do when you're celebrating one of those types of chances. That's the other thing I will say this about baseball. Like, it does feel a little weird sometimes that they jump out of the window for celebrating advancing in the playoffs. Like, if you're in the NFL or you're in the NBA, you're not really popping bottles unless you win the entire thing. Unless you get the chip, unless you're bringing home the trophy, you're not popping bottles. In baseball, they pop bottles. They win the wild card round, the DS, the CS, and the World Series. I'm like, don't y'all think y'all are doing a little too much celebrating?
They do really celebrate every time they
advance. I'm glad you are the one who brought that up. Go ahead, Smalls.
So in St. Louis, obviously, I was fortunate enough to be able to cover a lot of postseason victories advancing to different rounds. And you know if there's an opportunity for the team to clinch that you better bring an outfit that you don't care about or shoes you don't care about that day. Because when you go in the clubhouse, everything is taped up and it's going to get ruined. They are going for it, whether it's the DS, the CS, or the World Series.
But you don't see that in football or basketball.
The Diamondbacks, you would have thought won 4 World Series.
Oh, come on. For them? That kind of feels that way.
I'm grumpy like that, too. Like, I don't like the over-celebration too early.
Well, you're a Patriots fan. You're a Heat fan.
2 years ago, they lost 110 games.
All y'all do is celebrate championships. I remember when Bill Belichick won the AFC title game, they handed him the trophy, and he whisked it away to somebody else like, I don't want to hold this thing. Get it out of my hands. Man. This is not what we play for.
Well, Jimmy Butler wouldn't touch the Eastern Conference Finals trophy.
Well, you know, that's in hockey. Players won't touch the Stanley Cup. They won't look at the Stanley Cup unless you earn it. They don't want to be near it.
So I just think it's strange that you celebrate every stage of the playoffs when you win.
But what if it's a weird thing? You get a little taste of it, and then it incentivizes you to want it more.
But Smalls, aren't the Phillies have been there, done that kind of team? It's not like this is their first time doing this. Okay, you want to argue the Diamondbacks, who did celebrate like they won 4 World Series titles and haven't won a World Series since when?
Yeah, since February?
No, they beat the Yankees. He wants to just ignore the fact that they beat
understand.
The Yankees.
I don't understand why you want to keep bringing
Big
that
Yankee
up.
Hater.
Why do you want to keep
Big
going back?
Yankee
why
hater.
Do you want to keep going back to that?
Because I'm a Yankee hater. But I agree with your overall thought process. Did you celebrate, like, you win a playoff game?
No!
Never.
No, you don't celebrate winning just a playoff game. I mean, it's weird because people want to celebrate winning a division, and you got the T-shirts and the hats, and we're like, why do you care about the T-shirt and the hat game when you want to be playing for a championship? That's weird.
Like, why do you guys hate fun? What's
nobody's
wrong
keeping.
Oh, I do.
Nobody's
I do,
keeping the hat that said New York Giants 2011 NFC East Division Champs. Who the hell cares about that hat or T-shirt?
Didn't the Colts hang up a banner after that?
Yes, the Colts did hang up that banner.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
wait, but Pat, you're fighting on this? You're fighting us on this one?
Yeah, it's fun.
It is fun.
Let the boys have fun, you know?
If it was normalized in your sport to celebrate advancing every round in the playoffs by popping bottles and partying, I'm sure you would embrace it.
I just remember my teammates on the 2011 New York Giants urging everybody to stay in during the week at the Super Bowl site. Because the parties before the Super Bowl aren't nearly as fun as the parties after the Super Bowl when you win. I just don't understand why we feel the need to party and celebrate when you have won absolutely nothing but the opportunity to advance and play again for the championship.
A large part of it was beating the Braves, I have to say.
Yeah.
That was a very
heated
series.
You mean what you did
series.
Last year? Didn't you do that last year?
Yeah, and they went crazy after that one.
Yeah, but if you lose in the CS to the Diamondbacks, you look absolutely ridiculous.
That's right.
And hard disagree.
Now, how do you feel about...
Because everybody does it. Every team does it.
But, CeCe, how do you feel about, like, let's say the Lions win the division? Do you feel differently if it's a team that hasn't been there?
No,
in forever?
I would be okay with the Lions doing it because I feel like that would be the embodiment of what the fans would be doing. Like, the Lions deserve to do that because the fans have earned the right to be. Like, listen, this is a team in the Phillies that has been to a World Series in recent memory.
Like.
This is
back
to
back
CS appearances. This is ridiculous.
Overalls. He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 beers on him in the overalls. You don't want to do this. This looks like a great time.
No, this is making me want to root against the Phillies. This is what it's doing to me.
I don't want to be able to where I do that. You've been rooting against the Phillies since day one, but they're partying is what got you.
Yeah, this is what's pushing it over the top.
And hold on, and by the way,
a little bit excessive.
Canty, Jimmy should have touched the trophy because they didn't show up in the finals.
Why are you? He's all of a sudden taking shots at Jimmy Butler.
How did Jimmy Butler catch a strike?
Why leave him alone?
Evan brought him up.
Nuno's ridiculous. Nuno's sending us text messages about, I'm excited about RJ Barrett this year. Leave Jimmy alone. Go drink a coffee.
But Pat, here's what I don't understand. Why do fans care? Why do fans get excited if your team doesn't win the whole damn thing?
Because we beat the Braves.
You beat the Braves
or you get a trophy for beating the Braves?
I'd be happy if the Eagles beat the Cowboys in the playoffs.
But if you lose to the Niners,
if you lose the following week, what does it matter?
We still beat the Braves.
So you mean to tell
There's no way.
That's ridiculous.
If you advance in the playoffs and you walked into the locker room and they had bottles and all that, you wouldn't participate.
We're on to Monday. We can continue this conversation. Greeny coming up next on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle.